מה למטה, אין לב טקסי, לב הרגים, לב
My name is Lucy, thank you, from the National Department of Human Settlement. Honorable members of the Procurement Committee, I will be leading the delegation from the National Department. I am the acting Chief Financial Officer. I need to render an apology for the second VG, Ms. Wong. She's attending to other agent matters in the department. Chairperson and members with me, I'm having the, I'll give them the mic to introduce themselves. However, I'll start with Emmanuel Mila, the intern in grant management. So I thought I would bring him along so that he can see what we do when we are saying we are going to parliament, and hoping that he will learn from all of us, and he's a new generation, so they will be taking over one time when we leave the department, hopefully. I will allow my colleagues to introduce themselves.
Thank you very much. Good morning, members of the Procurement Committee, the chairperson, colleagues from City of Cape Town and City of Ekurhuleni. I'm Soledad Sokopo, responsible for informal settlement upgrading and emergency housing. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, everybody. My name is Lili Dekaba. I'm responsible for the agricultural liaison in the Office of the Director General. Thank you.
Morning, Chair. Name is Manda Tava. I represent corporate services. I'm also saying good morning to the members and all the colleagues in the house. Thank you, Chair.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. I know there is MMC from the City of Cape Town and colleagues. My name is Andile Mashaluje. I'm the HOD for Human Settlement in the City of Ekurhuleni.
Good morning, Chair, Members of Parliament, the MMC Leadership President and colleagues. My name is Oleva Makase from the Ministry of Human Settlement.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning to everyone in the room. My name is Nomzam Soboni. I'm from MMC Voice Office. Thank you.
Good morning, Madam Chair, portfolio committee members, fellow officials,
Morning, ma'am. My name is Nomzam Soboni. I'm the record member of Human Settlement in the City of Cape Town, and good morning to the members of the committee, colleagues from National and Ekurhuleni that are present today. Thank you so much.
Good morning, Chair and members, colleagues. I'm Ray Razula. I'm the Director for Housing Development with the City of Cape Town.
Thank you very much. On this point, can we note that fellowship?
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning to members and to our guests. I received an apology from three members. Mr. Mansuta, Advocate Mansuta, is not well. Mr. Heron is attending session of the 94 committee meeting, and Ms. Kapewu will be joining us today. Thank you, Chairperson.
department, the acting DG, and also the deputy. No, from the department. I don't know anything about acting chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. Colleagues, honorable members of the portfolio committee, I was requested by the Chairperson to give the overview on the performance of the grant. And we know that as human settlement, we have got three grants that we are transferring to the municipalities. However, two of them are transferred to the metropolitan municipalities, which is the Urban Settlement Development Grant and the Informal Settlement Upgrading Partnership Grant. Chairperson and members, I'll give the overview, starting with the Urban Settlement Development Grant. This is the expenditure as of the 31st of January 2023. However, some numbers there were highlighted that they are preliminary, but they are next to, they give the full reflection on the status of the municipalities. Honourable members, you can note we are using the colour coding to show that we were 7 months into the financial year end.
Are we using that? Can we switch on the light?
Make it off the light so that you can
go to
just
no, this is go to presentation mode.
Thank you. Chairperson, is it better?
I'm from Maritime.
Okay, let me, maybe I should put it in the memo to speak. What is your name? Put it in the memo to speak.
Given to the colleague
where there's a social media, I'm using my laptop when I image, I must get out of this. Okay, let me image. Apologies for that.
Why did you give it to me?
Apologies for not sending in the presentation in time. Chairperson, we had a technical movement on the 10th of February. That's where we are starting the performance of the metros, going into detail, because the financial year of the National Department, it ends on the 31st of March. And this is the time whereby as the National Department, together with provinces and metros, will look, zoom deeply into the performance of the metros to identify which metros we are struggling or they won't be in a position to spend their entire allocation, and then which metros will be able, or those metros that they have got moving projects that will be able to absorb additional funding. I have the slide, the color that is coded, that is in red. The heading says spent against the budget fund, and then we have put everything in red there. But I'll come up to that. Chairperson and honourable members, the total allocation for the urban settlement development fund is 7.4 billion, and as of the 31st of January, we have transferred 4.2 billion. But we can see that the expenditure is sitting at 34.8, meaning that when we look at whereby are put in rate, Chairperson, honourable members, we can see that 7 months down the line, all the municipalities except BCM that's sitting under 40%. BCM is the only metro that was sitting on 42.9. However, Nelson Mandela Bay on the USDG, that's sitting at 35%. When you look at Mangawu on the USDG, that's sitting at 26%, just around it off, is 25.8%. When you look at Ekurhuleni, your person that's sitting at 28.7%. City of Jobe, that's sitting at 37.6%. City of Tswane, 32%. Etebeni, 37%. City of Cape Town, 38%. So, Chair, you can see with this financial performance that the metros overall are not performing very well, Chairperson. And then what we did as a national department, around the performance on the 6 months down the line, we start by analyzing the performance. So we did send out the letter to almost all of these metros. We requested them to submit the recovery plan. The results of the recovery plan, we wanted to see if they've got projects that are on the line, that are on the ground, that will be able to spend, because we have to focus. Given that the end of the financial year for the metropolitan municipalities, it goes until June. So we requested them to submit their recovery plans. However, we looked at the recovery plans. There were some of the metros that were not happy with their recovery plans, because most of the projects are on the procurement. Honourable Chairperson and members, I think we are all aware about the state of the municipalities, especially the metros in our country. And then the other day, I had the President of SALGA even on, he was reporting in Parliament regarding the state of the municipalities and the expenditure and the service delivery. So that is aligned to the also the performance of the grant. So the municipalities are not performing very well, given the urban settlement development grant. Chairperson, the next slide, I'm going to go, or rather to zoom in Ekurhuleni, I'm going to highlight Ekurhuleni, because today we will be talking to Ekurhuleni and City of Cape Town. Ekurhuleni, they were sitting at 28.7%, which is even below the 30% mark. When you look at City of Cape Town, they were sitting at 38, which is above the 30% mark. We used the 30% mark to send out the intention to withhold, Chairperson. And for City of Cape Town, we did not send as a national department, because as of yesterday, the status quo has changed. I will report to the current status on the withholding when I'm concluding on the financial performance. So as a national department, we forwarded the intention to withhold to Ekurhuleni, we forwarded the intention to withhold to Mangawu. So those are the ones that we said we are going to withhold, because when we looked at their recovery plan, Mangawu, we know what is actually happening, that they are under administration, but however, the administration there in synthesis is not yielding any results because they don't have procurement. Most of the projects in Mangawu metro are not procured. And then Ekurhuleni as well, the team, we've got a team of project managers in the office. They went to Ekurhuleni because we requested them to sit down with our colleagues in Ekurhuleni to zoom in where are the bottlenecks. So most of the budget in Ekurhuleni is sitting under water and sanitation. So by the time that colleagues went to sit down with Ekurhuleni, Chairperson and honourable members, it was picked up that most of those that were sitting under procurement, they were done with the procurement. So So they were now waiting to issue out letters, and then the contractors were going to take site in Ekurhuleni. So the status was promised by then when she had a discussion with Ekurhuleni. The entire situation continues its worst when it comes to the informal settlement of the partnership plan. So the next slide of the informal settlement, because this is the slide as well that we are transferring to the victims. So the red here is sitting on the Mandela Bay, that is a different, and the Imamau is a different. However, City of Cape Town is sitting at 39%, they were above the 39 and within of the intention to withhold, and then the other community as well changed to the expository. So when it comes to the informal settlement, everybody has improved a lot. So chapter, this is the financial performance of the USDG and the IGPG. Chair, I will go to the recommendation that we made as a national department of the mental settlement. Chapter 7, after we have had a lot of discussions with the metropolitan municipality, looking detailed into the government, and we had a team of project managers and their engineers. They had to go a step further to go on site because we wanted to see if we put the moving process on site. So the final conclusion that we made, Chairperson, is that we made a recommendation to National Socialists that we propose to stop the remaining balance of Mangaung for both grants. So Chairperson, Mangaung for both grants, which is the IGPG and the USDG, we propose that we will stop the 147 USDG that we are supposed to transfer today. So today we should not transfer. And then as well as Ekurhuleni, we propose to stop 200 million from Ekurhuleni, and then as well as the 100 from Ekurhuleni. So this is the final proposal that we made to the National Treasury. And then for the informal settlement upgrading partnership grant, Chairperson, we opted to stop the remaining charge in 2007 due to the fact that there are no projects when it comes to the informal settlement. And there is no procurement at all. So that's the overall challenge that came up with. Chairperson, as of yesterday, we received letters from National Treasury. National Treasury are proposing to stop the USDG and the ISUPG for all the nations except City of Glory for the USDG. So the person that is sitting here with me today, I'm waiting for the office to tell me the final conclusion. I know that City of Cape Town, they received a letter yesterday from the National Treasury that going to stop the USDG and the ISUPG, and then Ekurhuleni as well, they received a letter from the National Treasury. They are going to stop the USDG, a portion, not everything, but a portion of what we have been transferred. Yesterday, Chairperson, we had already looked at the payment for some of the nations. We got an instruction from the National Treasury that we should not proceed. So we had to request the Reserve Bank that we recall all the payments because they want to finalize this process of scoping. So Chairperson, as a side by the human settlement sector, it does not look good. Because the question that I did ask National Treasury is, because all the nations are in the same boat, what will happen to the unstopped fund? Because if we take the money back to the 25, we are going to take a risk on the MTF allocation. It means that our future allocation for metals is a revolution. We know that if the country will put a competing demand, we know that there's this demand that are needed with water, with also things. But given that the municipalities, the measures are not performing yet, Treasury is intending to take those billions from this money that we're seeing now. And we know that the status of the city is very bad on the floor. And in Chair, what we propose to National Treasury, we said, we are aware about the status of the informal settlement in the Western Cape, particularly in the city of Cape Town, and then as well as the Prasalai, those that informal settlement that is called the Prasalai. We had a discussion with the National Treasury that we are requesting that at least we get a portion that was meant to go to Mangaung for the informal settlement. If we can be invested and allocate for the city of Cape Town so that money is kept, so let it be utilized for those informal settlements, that the city of Cape Town went to the National Treasury and ourselves and PLP, that they don't have the funds to pay those informal settlements. So we just wanted to make sure that at least we can get a portion that we prioritize those in formal settlement. Because here, we were called up by the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation regarding the research in the city of Cape Town regarding those informal settlements. And even the human rights commission. The situation there is really, really bad. And the only allocation we requested treasure that when we take the manifest to the fiscal, we are requesting that at least we get additional funding that we can reallocate to the city of Cape Town to deal with those informal settlements and those that informal settlement that is on the proper line. So Chairperson, that will be the end of the financial. However, Chairperson, I want to zoom in into the non-financial on the USDG. Chair, when we look at the non-financial, that's when I said this word as well to Commission. Honourable members and Chairperson, you'll be able to see that there is no service delivery. Because this slide, it talks to the service delivery, the basic service. When you zoom in into this slide, you'll be able to see that whatever they have planned to do, nothing is happening on the ground, most of the people. So, for example, on the servicing of sites, you can see on the slide that I put on the screen that the only problem, sorry, the only measure that has recorded a movement on the servicing of sites is the issue of Cape Town. All the other metros, as of December, as of the second quarter, they did not indicate how many sites they have serviced. So it shows that there is no service delivery. When you go to the next one, roads and storm water checkers, you can see that other metros, they didn't even meet or start eating somewhere on the roads and storm water, except the city of Cape Town and the city of Kruger. So Chairperson, this one is on the USDG, and then I'll go on the ISDG. So this slide talks to the non-financial information on what the USDG is supposed to buy. So we can see that this is the water. So the USDG is supposed to help us with the basic services. When you look at the connection, the water services, you can see that only on the water services point is installed for informal settlement. That's where you can see that it's overflowing. The other issues, they did not record anything. So you can see that even the informal settlement that are supposed to have water, they don't have water. And when you look at the number of households to be provided with water connections as well, you can see that it's only to Cape Town that they showed that it has been provided connection to the household. So Chairperson, sanitation services in the next slide, we can see that as well. There's no performance there. So when you list the financial performance and the non financial performance, these two slides, they show that there's no service delivery. The metros are not paying the grant, and then the metros are not doing service to the residents. So Chairperson, the next presentation that I want to talk to is the informal settlement for the two metros that are here today. Apologies that I'm swapping, changing the slides. The next slide is the informal settlement appraisal partnership plan. So this one talks to the performance of the city of Cape Town. So this is the city of Cape Town business plan. On the business plan that was approved, this is the achievement up so far. Under the pre-planning studies, the EIA application, the city of Cape Town, they spent 5 projects that are affecting the 17 informal settlements. And one has been completed. So it means that it's 1 out of 90 that has been completed on those EIA applications. On the traffic and interstate, 5 projects are affecting the 17, and then settlement were planned, however, 2. So this gives an indication on what it is that the visual case process they will do, utilizing the informal settlement operating partnership plan. So yes, they did indicate when they submitted the business plan that they're going to address all the issues for the 17 informal settlements within the city of Cape Town. But when you look at the second quarter performance, only 2 was attended to. And then when you look at the township layout plan, only 2 have been completed and 1 is at 40%. So the interim services, 4 water and sanitation projects are under implementation and ranging between 20% and 40% completion. So this is the data on the interim services, and then on the road and stormwater design, two water projects are 20% and 40%, and then they divide as well to 20% and 60%. And then the children come in case, and then they are here saying they can talk more. And we know it will be on the news. I saw the clip on Sunday whereby the executive mayor and the MLC regarding what they bring on the business forum around the city of Cape Town. The situation that was good and the lives have been lost there, and it was a human settlement project. So yeah, we just see the business forum are really catching the most of our projects across the country. And then community negotiations, continuous threat of land invasion, and the delays in the city registration. Now, Chairperson, I will talk to Ekoroge so that you know, that looks like I'm really going right into the city of Kita. So I will talk to the city of Ekoroge here. Chairperson, the city of Ekoroge, when they submitted their business plan, they told us that they are going to start attending the four projects whereby they need to start with the social facilitation. But as of end of the second quarter, that they have procurement. And I mentioned again that we sent people to Ekoroge to look at the water and sanitation as well. We picked up that procurement was an issue. So you can see that most of the projects within the agreement, and all the members, it was still not in the procurement stage. Because if the council does not see, the procurement plan does not get approved, and it's difficult to procure. So I think this is one of the challenges that we are sitting with, and we know we are seeing on the news what is happening with this issue. So all of these projects, Chairperson, are locked up in procurement. And when you look at the EIA, that's on the pre-planning, the EIA said they're going to do the EIA for 64 months agreement, then these projects are sitting at 45%. Because the application has been forwarded for circulation. So we are here, they can tell us where are they circulating. They are circulating within the council members or they are circulating within the technical class. And then the traffic infrastructure, they said they're going to treat the traffic infrastructure for 64 months, and then this project as well are sitting at 45%. The geothermal work is sitting at 40%. The painting outside and approved 10% is 30% of the work that is completed. And then bus infrastructure, 6 projects for 94 months are planned, and all of them are at the procurement stage. So these are the real challenges that we are seeing when it comes to the metropolitan municipalities. So when you look at the challenges, they're almost the same. And the reason why there's no movement, we find that most of them are sitting at performance, so they're not moving. When you go into the department, the policy in the metropolitan is the political instability that is getting in the motion. Because that's why we cannot move. If the contract does not fit, the budget does not get to be approved, and then you find that you are having all these working projects, but you need to include them when you are arranging the budget. But the authority of passing the budget is the contract. So here, if the contract does not fit, then we don't get the procurement to be moving. So Chairperson Hank, National Treasury has set out that we're going to stop the money, as I said earlier on. And Chair, this is not good news, this is a serious challenge, because really when we look into the future, we look into the city of Zimbabwe. When National Treasury takes 3 billion out of the 2 grants, it means that next year the situation is going to be worse than this one that we find ourselves in. Honourable Chairperson and members, colleagues, that will be my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Melusi, we are going to allow the City of Cape Town to present. I don't remember why I'm raising the hand, because we're not discussing. You are going to ask after the presentation, all the presentation, so that we're trying to manage time. Just note your questions, and then you're going to get time to ask the question. Let's get the City of Cape Town to present, and then followed by the City of Ekurhuleni.
Thank you.
Thank
There is an issue of certain sites, as it has been indicated on the various financial years, 2018-2019 were done 1,448, in 2021-2022 were done 2,252 of those in certain sites where people are able to build, particularly for themselves. And also you'll see in some of the other years and in the current year what has, why it has dropped. As you know, Chair, some of the grants that have been available to us have been cut over the years. Our informal settlement upgrading program is also informed by the urbanization and the growth with an increased density on various informal settlements, and that and our response to informality is detailed through approaches in inclusive design of informal settlement and emergency housing, the provision of basic services, infrastructure, the recognition of informal building practices, the opportunity for supporting informal structure compliance and timely. The city's priority is to provide safer and healthier housing opportunities for those living in inadequate housing. The social and economic inclusion of these spaces within the broader city environment through the development of integrated and sustainable finances may be key to the city of Cape Town. The extent of informality across the city, the chair, the backyarding or the backyard settlement, as you can see, is with 1,021 and which amounts to about 1,400 structures. Informal settlements is about 497, which tells you, this gives you about 201 plus 1,000 structures. Our IGCRs and the plots we have done thus far, about 33 of those settlements, which are about 12,761 structures. And our results of settlements, which is some of the settlements that you'll find within our rental units, which is also people who have established those units, the wealthy houses, etc. About 71 settlements, and also about 9,478 small farmers, well settlements that we find around, which is about 13, and we just received about 2,800 structures. Now, these are kind of, now we have informal settlements that have mushroomed between a period of March 2020 when COVID began, and after 2021, 186 of those. And the 16 informal settlements that Lucy was referring to, they are also part of this 186. This 186 also encapsulates those people who have invaded the railway line in Filipi, in Lada, in Kailicha, etc., in those areas. So those structures that you find, they are 69,380 of those. But in total, the informal settlements that we have in the around the CC to date is about 835, with an estimated of the estimation of 296,590 structures. I mean, that data, if you go to the next slide, that's the data, it shows on this particular data which of those informal settlements that I've spoken about were on floodplains, were on private lands, were on metro rail, were under the power lines, were under some of the servitudes, and so forth. So that particular slide is an indication of those, because we have done a risk assessment of those of all these informal settlements. Some of them, and of which a majority, or a large section of these informal settlements, you'll find them in Filipi on top of the railway lines, chair, and some in Griffin, where the nature reserve, and those that particular area, you cannot even begin to restitute. In actual fact, those people who have established themselves there, they pose a risk not only to the government but to themselves. Because if we were to have major or big rainfall, so there will be in a wet situation. If you go to the next slide, there, this is where we also indicate out of the 186,000, I've asked that we do the breakdown of the 186, what is it that we need. We are able to, out of the 186, 38% of them will be in a position. So the situation to put water to assist them with the sanitation, but 2% of those informal structures were unable to do that. And our ratio that we're working on is on water installation is 1:24, which necessarily means that we need about more than 2,700 of those tests. And then on capital expenditure, we need about 20.8 million rand for that. Sanitation, we use 1:25 ratio, and as it has been applied to the presentation, we retire about 13,800 plus of those projects. And also the capital injection for those projects on an annual basis, it will cost us about 242 million rand, with an annual operating cost of 89.9 million. And also the farmer's chair, which I want to get to, what is required for us to be able to service what you see was also referred to, but also other informal assessments, would need about 263 million on the capital budget, and also for operational on annual basis would need more than 136 million rand. And the land that would be required for us to relocate those informal settlements, because we have an estimation of about 500 hectares, which will enable us to move people from Brisbane, from the railway line, in Langa, in Philippi, etc., so that our trains can get back to operation. Informal settlement upgrading pipeline that we have as a city, we have developed a pipeline process, which is also a chaplain, 25-year pipeline to support the alignment of the conditions that must be met in order for the upgrading to take place, which is your land, which the land would look at the land that is owned by the city. Where it is not the case, permission is granted for the city to be able to undertake some of these upgrading, and in some instances where to request for a power of attorney from private owners or other parastatals so that we can be able to utilize those land parcels. Also, land can be developed for the special purposes, fiscal risk assessment in case of certain environmental risk factors. Also, Chair, I just want to get in the main on the basic services provision that we do. We have our emergency relief. I think Lucy did not touch on it because it was the only settlement that is or city that is providing those, which also in the immediate we have assistance that we give to our people that are affected by fires or water in the event of disaster, which is we have an immediate relief that has been also granted by the national human settlement current, and also a medium to long term. And where all settlement have several basic services, we make sure that full basic services is provided in along the ratio previously. And also following the installation of full basic services, incremental upgrading is to continue as per the project pipeline and grant funding conditions. On the next slide, this particular slide simply talks to the different programs chair that are done by ourselves, which have ended on most of them previously, where we have the identification programs, IDA, the red blocking, super blocking, informal upgrading of informal settlements, etc. So those are the programs that we have. If you go on the next slide, Diana, I've just cited some of the examples that we have done in recently. This is deep in Makana, where it was more dense, and we had to put in some roads and make sure that they created some different areas so that the individuals now can be able to own their own property. So this does not only talk to the service side, but also people getting their own properties going forward. We'll make sure that these individuals also get their own title deeds for these land parcels or plots that they are getting. Currently, this is today, that process is underway, getting to people out of informality. This particular area, for example, Chair, it has individuals who occupied an open space in between a development that was done. So we had to go back and deal with those individuals who were in that open space so that we can be able to live in a better condition. In Walabin, as you can see, that project is almost done. It's underway. We're giving also those assessment sites that we're giving to individuals. The reason why we've made a provision for that external sanitation is we are allowing them, once they're building their own homes, they can be able to utilize our services. These are some of the examples that we've done in some of the areas where we are doing desertification and industry upgrading across. These are examples that are in the city. Sorry, baby. And the other ones are in Pulen, in Posasa, one of our biggest IDAs. As you can see, we've got some amenities within that particular precinct to enable those kids who are living in those areas that they can be able to be accommodated through our existing set of facilities. And also, we have some meeting rooms, as you can see, we also have playground. In Raven's Meet, these are the types of areas that we have developed where we move people out of informality to make sure that now they are in better living conditions. And one of the things that we are utilizing currently and also going forward, Chair, is alternative building technology, because it's much cheaper. Because of the shrinking of grants, we have taken a stance that we must live outside the box and see how do we deal with the grants that are shrinking and be able to have these alternative units, which are slightly cheaper than your brick and mortar units, which has a budget of about, I think the quantum industry is about 162 at the moment, if I'm not mistaken. But this particular structure, which is about 30 square meter structure, it costs half of that amount. So we're trying to utilize the little resources that we have so that they can go much extra mile. I think part of what we have also experienced is the unlawful occupation of lands within the city. As I've indicated previously, these are started when the Disaster Management Act kicked in and where we said COVID started, and we saw a huge influx or a number of vacant land being taken by occupiers who claim that their landlord had evacuated at a big term at the time. And also, if you check on the next slide, this is the slide where we had what I was indicating that this is present. And you can see some of the issues that are being raised. Some people are becoming entrepreneurs now in these invasions. They are selling those. As you can see, I've taken a picture of one of the units. Those people now, they go there. It's what we call shared farming within the city. They are people who are more organized. They go and occupy land, and then after occupying land, they put up structures, and then start advertising to the most vulnerable people and make them pay a renter. I mean, an average renter within the city of Cape Town, Chair, whether it's in Dublin or Calicra, is averaging about 1,200 paying for renters. And those are people who are exploiting the poor and creating an impression that there's a lot of informality, whether it's an orchestrated informality for them to benefit out of those. And the next slide, yeah. This particular slide, Chair, as you can see on the two graphs, the two sharp graphs, the red one and the red one, these are two incidents. The first one, it was when the issue and the debate commenced just before election, I think it was after Sona at the time on land expropriation in South Korean Nation. That is when we started seeing that incline. And that incline led to serious invasion and that discussion of land expropriation without compensation. The champions of that went straight to invade land. And that's why we see the chaos that we see, not only in the city, but across the country, Chapters. The second one, Chapters, is also when COVID came to the fore. And also when Disaster Management Act kicked in. So those, you can see on that graph on how many land parcels were lost. And today those individuals who then went there preaching expropriation of land without compensation, they are coming back today, they are asking for more services from the same city that they've broken the land or the own regulation of. So on the housing opportunities where land has been lost through these invasions, Chair, I mean these are land are programs. What I do not understand, Chair, at some point, these are projects that were earmarked to commence. For instance, in Morula North, we have lost 1,687. Now, I don't understand when you go to a site that has been serviced and you invade with informal structures, but you protest for formal structures at the end. It's still puzzling me, but these are the sites where people who have waited for long on our waiting list and now who have lost these opportunities. These are areas in Kailika, in Fuleni, and some in Kaifuli, who have lost those land parcels, this indication. Right? So that the total budget of 209, we have to reprioritize. We have to reprioritize that budget, Chair and committee members, because we would not be in a position to rebuild or build those units. So we have to take that money to those areas where people have not invaded their land parcels. But the most unfortunate part is what I've indicated is that there those who have been waiting for too long on the waiting list, now they've lost their opportunities. It's an unfortunate situation, but it's expropriation without compensation. Various responses that we have done with council were adopted human settlement strategy and also unlawful land occupation by law, and now with a draft SOP with the provision of relief services for unserviced informal settlements that we have indicated on the 186 unlawful land occupation framework, unlawful land joint operation committee, which is our war room, online departments for daily monitoring of land invasion attempts and feedback on planned operations on daily basis. We try to do that in order for us to be able to now going forward to protect those land parcels. But remember, and also we have deployment of private security with technical response capabilities. And part of the bigger challenge that we have is that it's the issue of the PI Act, which prohibits us at some point for us to be in a position to demolish structures that have occupied land unlawfully. The operational impact on unlawful land occupation is the financial implications, checking the resources to cater for all units formed settlements. Is the land occupied not suitable for human habitation? And I've cited the railway lines and I've cited the tourist lands as an example of this. Long-term operating costs of provision of basic services, because this operating cost, they need to be available on an annual basis, and as I've indicated before, they run at about 170 odd million on an annual basis going forward. Reduced value of the land, the legal fees on the litigation processes that we embark on for us to do reaching applications and so forth. And also some of our staff in the process, they get in us and some of them lose lives. So I think issues that we think within the regulations that require some review is the High Act and also the review of the emergency housing codes, which is an unintended consequence of what we see. The loophole identified, people are taking advantage of it, private court evictions, state and SOE methods to provide emergency housing, financial viability. Currently unfunded to provide alternative housing, because as I indicated, these people are doing what we call shared farming, and this also translates to queue jumping, because people, because now that the erected structures today, they want us to ignore people who have been waiting this for too long, hence the invasion of well-planned programs. With that presentation, Chair, I wish to thank you and your portfolio committee for allowing us to make our presentation and also to our colleagues. Thank you so much, Chair.
Thank you very much, City of Cape Town and Kurulen.
Well, they can then make a significant impact in terms of dealing with that bedrock. We also have a social housing institution where we then assist them to implement the social housing within the city. So in terms of the past overall condition, you can see how we've performed. As I've mentioned, most of the budget initially due to be allocated to human settlement, but you can see over time that has reduced and the part of it went towards implementation. You also see that we did in 2020, we did have some reallocation to deal with COVID related. The funds that we have spent in those financial years, we did apply for those funds that were approved. So actually we the funds performed for those 5 years. And then just a snapshot of the sense of those 5 years, which what work have we been doing. You will see most of the work we've done around the village, because as human settlements we've been working with village where we do the reblocking, challenge or count and then electrify those informal settlements so that we can provide them with access to electricity. So we've also provided PV solar lighting to informal settlements. So that's the work that we've been doing. And then in terms of human settlements, this is, I've already mentioned that we have this mega project. We have 18 of them in the city of Kurgan, and the total yield is approximately 200,000 housing opportunities from this mega project.
Some members that said they don't have a presentation. Which
We did in the
you have
yes.
Check your emails, honorable members. I think you.
We emailed it to the secretariat.
Okay.
Yeah. So, in terms of the implementation of this, you see that we do have issues with the sector, with this community forum. However, in Burundi, we haven't had major problems with this because of the approach that we have adopted, which I will also reflect on it when we talk about land invasion. In terms of the same stance as the work that we're doing, and then in terms of the performance, those are the same stance that we've delivered over those past financial years. And then today, in terms of the current financial years, we delivered 320 service days. And then in terms of the, this is the work that we've done, and human settlement, I'm not going to go into detail, but it's all linked to the work that I've mentioned in terms of those mega projects. We do also do some work on the wastewater treatment plants because we do have challenges from the wastewater, so we're trying to increase the capacity because the bulk of the sewer that comes from these mega projects actually affects the wastewater treatment plants that we have. And then in terms of the water and sanitation, you know, each year we've been providing access to about 119 over settlements in the city, but that has since increased since 2020 to 169. So the informal settlements that we provide with internal basic services in the city, we have 169. And then you can see how many water connections we've done and how many pipe charges we've replaced over those financial years. In terms of waste management, it's about refuse removal. Informally, those that are generating informal settlements, but we, like I mentioned, we've increased it to 169 because there's been informal settlements growing in the city. Stormwater, those are the kilometers and stormwater systems that we've done over those 5 years. And then in terms of the informal settlement upgrading grants, as the Action CFO mentioned, this is the grant where we perform better for the city. mainly because if you look at the allocation of the it's between energy and transportation, like I said, we work together to do the reblocking and then they come and electrify the performance segment. So hence we perform better in that regard. It only started in that 2021-2022 financial year. And then this is the work that we've done. We performed in those informal sessions. And then, Chair, if I can quickly touch on the plan to curb the land invasion. Chair, the reason we have been successful in dealing with land invasion in the city is that we created a land invasion unit which is located within our Ekurhuleni Metropolis Department, which then undertakes security assessment as well as regular patrol and policing to ensure effective and efficient law enforcement. So we work with them, for instance, in terms of the implementation of court orders as well as initiatives where we have these authorities. We have established that it's actually better to do the prevention activities than to react when the land invasion has happened. So hence we took the decision to pre-establish this land invasion unit. We have also developed a bylaw chair for the management of informal settlements, which includes the management of land invasion. So this is the work that we do. So they undertake the security assessment, they do patrolling, they also are responsible for removing illegal occupiers. They have security companies that have appointed within them to assist them to do this work. We also implement the court orders in conjunction with the sheriff. And they rely on and communicate with other law enforcement agents like the police. So we also have interdict and division, and where we also demolish some of these illegal properties or encroachments. So that's the work that we do to deal with land invasion. If I can then reflect, Chair, on the current financial year, as the activity was mentioned, most of our budget, it was allocated to water and sanitation. And we did have contracts that came to an end in December. So there was just that gap. I must also indicate that we since addressed that we have appointed those service providers. But now the other challenge we have, Chair, we submitted an adjustment budget in January. And that adjustment budget has not yet been approved because of some of the political challenges we have with council. So it then makes it difficult for us to implement the work that needs to be implemented to deal with some of the political challenges that we have. We've also learned that we received a letter from National Treasurer, which we will then respond to. And based on the final outcome of that change, we then have to pass another special action plan, which is when we then prioritize the project that we need to implement. So, Chair, that's where I'm going to leave it. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, City of Cape Town, from City of Ekurhuleni. We, as the secretary has indicated, we're supposed to have Joe Beck and Swan. They are not here, both of them, because their council are sitting. So I'm going to allow members to talk to the presentation as presented by the National and the Metros. Can I see the hands that want to speak to presentation? Member? Honorable Member Makas. I'll
I'm struggling to pronounce, but I'll be able to do so. My apologies for not pronouncing it correctly. Honorable Becky, Honorable Sekwai, Honorable Powers, Honorable Doctor, Honorable Chris, Honorable Malach, as I've noted you, Honorable Members.
Thank you very much.
Standard They have a standard umbrella kind of jurisdiction, whereby if anyone has invaded, they would use a certain court order. I'm not sure if that's still the... blanket kind of approach that you use for helping to evict people is still there, because for you to end up getting these securities to guard the land, sometimes you take the money where our mouths are not there. Because this money is to make sure that it develops the housing opportunities for people, not to pay for security. That's for the problem. Again, Cape Town, you are saying, because these people have occupied, I think you said, was it 71? They've occupied, I think you mentioned a certain number. You have decided to move away from that occupation to go and look for another land. It goes back to what I was saying. High act is not a discovery. Can you be people that are locally occupying? The fact what your response team to can identify those kind of local possession. You also mentioned the rental. I don't know that opportunity of rental. Who's benefiting them for that 1231 car? How do you bring rental? Is it the municipality rental or the private rental? Maybe people just terrify them. You use a word here, yes, political maneuver. Who is used to political maneuver? I think those are a few questions to need. I have to learn a couple of maneuver. I just finalize them. Because I think from what interested me like a 10-year thing. Chair, the invasion of the houses in the community, in farms, one of the farmers. So bad, Chair. People were even writing on the wall their names. This is mine, this is mine. Nothing happened over a week, but it was not detected. And then the parts moving up and down now. Maybe they can summarize the way we are, but the rest of the family before.
Honorable, it's not Honorable Chris, and then Honorable Nate.
If you don't share, if we are to tell the truth, when the acting CEO was given what she did in a form of opening, I thought when the two people come from the council steps, they agreed with everything that she said. And in my conclusion, she says they are nothing. There's nothing that these two people have done. Completely nothing. Now the question is, do we really understand why do we exist? Do we exist that we exist to improve the life and the living conditions of our masses? Or we just get salary and we are happy? It is what she said, and confessed. You are even convincing in terms of the left of withdrawal, what withdrawal. As if you don't understand the impact of that particular election. I'm very disappointed, and I can tell you that there's something that is not really going well, or maybe we have put people in the government that don't understand the function of the government. Now, if you are given money that you're supposed to use it, you are not using it. You reduce the whole exercise into percentage. The very first percentage that you are given is not even talking about 50%. It's talking about the very same 50% you can't achieve. You go to Ekurhuleni, because you must not go to Ekurhuleni Transnet, you must go to Tshwane. Everybody is looking for a shelter. Somewhere the land is there. But nothing is getting there. You are in Cape Town, the same. And there's another good way for a sentence that is now crafted here, that I can say it's just a matter of time before it is well understood. And lawful land occupation. It must be extended to say which race really do it unlawful. Because in the city, places are hijacked. In the city, only certain race is there. Outside the city, only certain race is there. And in the very same city that I visited, you are talking of an element that you are wishing to be given in the form of 500 hectares. I'm not sure if it's 500,000. But in your own plan, there's no way you are talking to us to say, instead of taking people to cities and playing, we've taken so many people into the city where there are some pockets of land which is not in use, so that they can be closer to where they are waiting. They can be closer to job opportunities. If you are not saying anything about the abandoned structures, infrastructure that can be utilized, converted to the youth, because you are aware that these people are really in need of land. And if you are telling us that others are occupied highly busy areas where at any given time should they be in disaster in a form of flat, they can be easily swept away. I'm saying to the chairperson, if we are really had to be taken seriously, nothing will stop us to suggest that this department is considering the national as a way of just running, can just run. Because they are not going to start helping us. They are not helping us. I don't want to buy money taken from Ekurhuleni, from another municipality to another municipality. But fact of the matter, we are in the same country where the previous disadvantaged communities are not benefiting. And we've got official CEO, we've got municipalities which is getting everything to can assist, but they're not assisting. Now the question is, what is that going to be done? I agree with the general leaders, no, they are not safe, no safe at all. And without even going to offer a bigger instance of the city tent in the city, better be the population outside, and the money that has to go back. Why so late? In Ekurhuleni, you did not necessarily establish land invasion units. You have just invited. It was there as far as southern. It was there. But here's what comes the key thing. In Pamridge, to be specific, houses are built, houses are invaded. Yes, you have got anti-land invasion units, which is supposed to be 24 hours ready. It is not doing anything. And on top of that, what can say the people are dying. On top of that, people are killed. Now, you go to Springs, you know what happened. anything at all, you know what I'm saying. Now, here's a political issue. If we lay 10,000, you are under the game. Here they come with less invasion units. They are dealing with illegal population. They are saying, here you put 10,000, you are complaining of your state. Where do you go? Until you realize the need of that, then at the end of the day, you come here, we complain of this. And the other sector we must never share to say is that the question of this project mafia, that must be referred to the police and addressed by the police. You can't call us that when we are armed, in fact, then we don't know what's happening. So, allow me to call the
public finance management edge. And an aspect to dignify our people towards the economic investment, how to do things so that we want to be contracting with the formality that is hindi here. I listed that in all measures as presented by the National Department. The issue is pressure. The issue is pressure in the institution of the grant of government. Which to me says, Chair, there is a need of a workshop. Because you can't go to the next financial year with this problem. You can't. When you are stuck, you are blocked. You can't move, you can't perform. Money is a transformation tool. If you want to transform, you can't utilize the money that you are given to use. So if you put it that, there should be an added workshop. It's a proposal this meeting out of the issues that we are hearing. The presence of the fund manager is important and treasure should be present. If the manager is going to be educated again and speak the truth in that meeting, speak the truth. Where is the blockage? Where is the blockage? So that we see a leader who is very important. The second last chair is that I am worried about what seems to be a norm. What seems to be a norm in this grant. These grants are not grants for free. They've got a history, a historical table. What is the mechanism for us to address this issue? And I do request that officials and colleagues should utilize this fact and be able to be positive to address issues. The issue of the PIF that needs to be challenged is a historical creation that says because of ABCDS, we don't want to get to that. Please let's have this act so that we are able to assist our people. Let that be treated as such. The issue that the city official is saying, let's go and look at the emergency housing. Present those issues well when they are qualified to be presented. So that we get responses. It may happen that you've got an issue to raise that will help others. So present that. You don't create an alarming negative issue that they are wrong. Please tell us what are your views on this so that you are able to engage on that and you help our people. So that the two issues that Chair and also my proposal is an evidence. It's an evidence to gain the fact that what does this mean that we are here to do? Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Jason. Thank you to the colleagues who presented from the city and from the National Parliament. So, just to begin with, Jason, the presentation that was given to us by the HS this morning was circulated to us, and we asked the committee before that we are separating nations in advance so we can interrogate it. And there was a lot of detail that was in those presentations. So, may I just reiterate our request for presentations on this as an advance so we can see the time online. It's very difficult to digest the intricacy of that information in such a short time period. Then, Chairperson, I would just go think through the program of the past calendar year of our committee, and we did not receive a briefing from any of the metros last year on their financial results for the 2021-2022 financial year. So when the agenda went out of stage that we would be receiving presentations from Metro, we as Parliament have a statutory obligation to monitor the financial expenditure on an annual basis of the Metro and the department that the DHS disburses grants to. So it's been a little bit of an information overload this morning, and I think it's potentially a little bit confusing for officials as well, who were asked about a research committee to present midway through the 2022-23 financial year, not having had an opportunity to present their final 2021-2022 results. So we as a committee are now receiving essentially 18 months of information, and I think that we need, as a member of the committee, a request that we stick to the statutory timeframe between getting the metrics and to present to us at the end of the respective financial year. I know Chief Justice that our committee was fixed at the time at the end of last year because of the public hearings that we had to go through, but that does reiterate our statutory obligation. So looking at the 6 months now, because the disbursements go July to June. So when our 6 months 7 months into the financial year. Anybody who works in government or has worked in government understands that hockey stick effect that happens as metros or really any department moves towards the end of the year, procurement fees up, requisitions are issued, and expenditure happens. So when we're making a measured and informed judgment of the progress that metros have made, what we need to essentially do is not look at where they are at the end of quarter two, but rather what their achievements have been at the end of quarter four. Now, with both the Kurrumbini and the City of Cape Town, we know that at the end of the previous financial year, they achieved very good financial expenditure. So the City of Cape Town, for example, on the formal settlement upgrading from their spend for the international was 96%, and on the UNPG it was 96%. So that's something that we need to afford the team for both at Kurrumbini and Kevin. And I think that it's potentially moot to be criticizing on small percentiles of under expenditure against benchmarked copy performance planning. So I have a question for the CFO or the acting director general. Neither of the cities here today seem to be aware of these letters that were apparently issued yesterday stopping funds. Now, the presentation itself is also confusing to us as members if we read the detail, because we were just told now that as a result of the failure of Metro to adhere to the benchmark quarterly expenditure tracking, that the grant funds were being stopped in the letter presented yesterday. Right? So I don't know how that can happen. It's a process that involves Treasury that everybody needs to go through. But then in the actual presentation to the Department gets us notes that the National Department is invoking Section 19 of DORA on INCCG, and that the whole recommended amount of 107.6 million rand funds to be stopped will be reallocated to the Cape Town Metro to cater mainly for the grants that inform settlements, right? So we were told that Cape Town isn't spending adequately, so the department said they can be said to withhold grant funding, further grant funding. But the presentation says Section 19 of DORA is being invoked on IDBG to actually reallocate money that's being taken away from other metros to take on additional funds. So I think the whole committee is confused. What is happening? Which metropolitans have received papers? Which process, treasury process, has been followed?
We are not confused.
Okay, I am confused, I think, for myself. I am confused. So we could use the clarity on that. Thank you very much. Then
Again, mainly directed to the national department. So we noted on the City of Cape Town presentation that 116 uniform settlements have been established in Cape Town since March 2020. So that's roughly 3 years. Now Cape Town has got their own technology that they use to kind of track on the development of informal settlements. And we go, these 186 settlements require a capital one-fourth budget of 263 million rand, as well as an additional annual OPEX of 176 million rand. But in total, the human settlements budget on USDG is 154 million rand. So just these new 186 informal settlements are going to require 263 million plus 176 million. It's just not enough. We noted at the end of the last financial year that the 377 million rand of the National Department of CSAR for the Residential Rental Relief Program, only 2 million of that 377 million rand for residential rental relief during COVID was spent because the SD took a full year to finalize the policy. Now, we've heard from the NSD board that the reason that Cape Town and the other metros have seen such a accelerated development of home settlements is because a lot of people lost their homes, they were evicted by their landlords, they had nowhere to go, so they had to initially establish informal settlements. The department made 370 million rand available to people who couldn't pay the rent, so those people can get the money because the policy wasn't finalized. Will the department consider allocating that 375 million, whatever the measure of it, 2 million rand was spent an hour peak a month ago. Will they allocate that to cities who are now dealing with the fallout of people's failure to have adequately used and dispersed that grant for that purpose? Will that 375 million rand be potentially allocated to Metro to help them deal with that fallout? If not, what has happened to that 375 million rand? Then we also note that the City of Cape Town requires an additional 500 hectares of land for the relocation of 42,900 high-risk structures. Two questions here again for the department. I noted that the Minister, Honourable Minister Kobayi, stated that 14,000 hectares of land has finally been handed over from the We as a committee have been asking about the release that has been lockdown. Now EWI has now released 14,000 hectares of land. Can the department give the committee a progress report on how much of that 14,000 hectares of land is going to be given to metropolitan municipalities to develop for the settlement purposes, noting that Cape Town are only 500 hectares. And then on the Rapid Land Relief Program, the Rapid Land Relief Program was announced and essentially it was the people who built their own structures. Now, the Western Cape Human Settlements Department has got what they call their living model, where they give essentially architectural booklets to people, all sorts of assistance. Have specifications been rolled out for metros to go along with the Rapid Land Relief Program? So the news, for example, spoke about innovative technology that the new Cape Town using cheaper materials to build POUs and emergency housing using the UNDG grant. Our patents are being given to municipalities to ensure standard delivery against the Rapid Land Relief Program all have the same ultimate objective. What is the national problem doing to help make it? That's really a question. Chair, may we finish? Currently, the MPC has been a huge amount of instability in the current in the past couple of weeks. Can I just ask, what is the Metro doing to track the new development assessment? Is the current using drone technology? How does current monitor and measure the development of new developments that they will have to plan? In a previous member of the committee, I noted that the Provincial Legal Eviction from a Lawful Occupation of Land Act had 48-hour time period stipulated for council to the future. So we know the
the pack doesn't actually spend a lot of time, and I was hoping that the MSP from Cape Town could update the committee on where the city of Cape Town is at in court action. We know that the city of Cape Town has been tied in a number of matters that have been brought by various organizations on the interpretation of PI and the city's ability to counter spoliate. And we know that that's causing a lot of issues. Where is the city at with those legal matters? We also know that the South African Police Services have a standing order that does not allow their members to assist with counter spoliation. So the Metro doesn't have to fund these anti-counter spoliation units themselves out of their own security budget. Can a correlate tell us, are the security costs to provincial land division coming from the human settlement budget, or is it coming from the safety and security budget? Because the City of Cape Town anti-land division unit that was established over 10 years ago, I know that they are funded from the safety and security budget. And then the situation, I agree with our colleagues, the situation on land division is excessive. The figures that I've got just in the West Cape, 255 million rand spent on preventing land division in 2021. Another 162 million rand spent last year. Cape Town, we spent about 142 million rand. That's just on security costs for land division. This is the key chairperson. We have got to begin deliberating around the required legislative amendments to the Pension and Innovation Act, because it's hampering the ability of every single metro in this country to do their work. And then lastly, Maurice, could you, or Honourable MSC, Maurice Boy, can you please give the committee details of the inner city centre land parcels that Mayor Jordan Hill has recently released in council? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thanks, Chair. Good morning. Good morning to the colleagues. And we welcome the presentation. Thank you for those. I will try and be very short. I think some points in the main have been covered. But just to commend the cities that are making all the efforts required to ensure that services are being delivered. I must say, Chair, much like the other members, I'm quite disappointed at the poor performance of some of the metros, such as Mangaung, Nelson Mandela, ranging from 18% to 22%, and particularly around the percussion of that poor performance on the citizens. And I think that, for me, is my biggest worry. Chair, I think at the end of the day, we are making provisions, we are adjusting this, we are withdrawing funds, and we are redirecting them to certain areas. And I would like to have the department to talk a little bit more around the rationale, the thinking, and how that interferes on the life of citizens who are expecting services. For example, if Mangaung funds are withdrawn and given to Cape Town, which I don't necessarily disagree with it, but I would like to hear somebody speaking about the citizens that are going to be missing out on services that should have been delivered to them. So for me, I would like to hear from the department what the plan is for those citizens, because ultimately they can't suffer for any administrative issues that Mangaung might be having, for example, like the system that is too, and anyway, our way of performance is not, unhappy. So for me, that is my biggest worry, Chairperson, that I would like to share the department addressing. So the department has proposed those spending. So I also would like to know what the department is doing to address or assist and support those municipalities. I understand that there's administration in Mangaung, for example, but in as far as the department is concerned and ensuring that services are being delivered to citizens, what is the department doing to assist Mangaung to assist the city of Durban, or wherever the city is? Are there, what interventions has the department done besides withdrawing and suggesting and proposing taking away those grants, for example? So if I can just hear a little bit more around that, for example. I also would like to know if the department itself has any standards for municipalities as far as agile and proactive procurement protocol is concerned. I think over the years, as long as I've been in your policy, all we hear around what's hindering service delivery is precisely around
procurement processes, when they take long, etc. So I want to know if the department has their own standards that set for municipalities around procurement processes, and also, you know, if there are any municipalities that are actually having automated procurement processes. I think if you read on procurement and if you've been in places where other of us have been exposed to those processes, you will understand that, you know, automation and all of that actually can improve incredibly, you know, towards those processes shortening and not being as frustrating, and also, you know, to curb corruption as well, because those are some of the challenges that we see around procurement when, you know, municipalities talk around challenges they face around procurement. Corruption is also a part of it, and automating these processes is also a solution. So I just want to understand to what extent the department has considered that, and if it has, in which municipalities or the two municipalities that are there, can perhaps talk a little bit more around that, because at the heart of everything we do, I think that all of us sitting around this room, our biggest concern should be to ensure that people's rights are respected, that people get to enjoy the rights that, you know, they have, and in this sense, the right to shelter, and we should be ensuring that that is a priority. So I think whatever it is that we do, our focus should be around ensuring that that happens and we don't miss out on people's rights. I also would like to commend the City of Cape Town for being, you know, top performance thus far in the financial year, and all other municipalities that have met the 50%, not many, trying to avoid you know, the reversal of their grant. I would like to also, however, go to find out any boy how you're dealing with the opportunistic inter-career liberalism. Goodness, what a word. But I wish that from your presentation, which is obviously resulting you know, in lost housing opportunities and impacting, again, precisely on what our team mandate is as team assessment. Also, to echo Rudeva, perhaps find out which of the hospitals are being upgraded in Echo Rudeva. Specific names, perhaps those, you know, one has time to be able to organize, etc. I'm also a little bit concerned as to why we're not able to at least project the number of beneficiaries, because if there's a budget, there has to somehow be a plan around who are we helping, to what extent are we able to help. So if I can put their clarity around that particular project. And Chair, I think I'll end there. I won't repeat other comments that Amanda has said that I had to down here, so those will be very clear.
Thank you. Honorable Malachi, followed by Honorable.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think on the issue of the clarity on the presentation by the CFO and the of Chief on the issue of the insurance resources that shall be clarified. But the point that I want to emphasize on, Chair, because I think it's what you say all the time, is that there's no way that you can spend if you can play. And I think some of our biggest problems is that we're unable to plan. The cities are unable to plan to what's given in the market that are given. Because one of the things that you need to deal with before you even speak about the issue of grid blocking. Grid blocking is that you identify a normal segment that you want to assist temporary services while you're waiting for a permanent solution. Now, in most cases, what you find in this grid blocking area, one is that you find that if you do what you call the audit, human management audit, you will find that the majority of the people who are staying there, one is that some of them are illegally there because of their identity in the country, they with an illegal partner. The other issue is that you find that there are past beneficiaries who already have got houses that have been getting, who they have rented out or sold their houses to other people. Now, when you put resources there, it means you are giving resources before audit to people that are already benefiting. Now, that's why I wanted an explanation on the issue of the reporting, that this reporting that you are putting a budget for, have you done audits for all those informal documents? I can tell you, for example, in my past responsibility in a good lady, we did what we call waste minimization, where we said all informal documents, we want to clean the informal documents so that they are clean.
But when we did the audit of the small segment, we discovered that 70% of the people who are there maybe are illegal foreigners. The 10% that is there is because they've benefited from RTP houses elsewhere, but they moved there because of what we told us we call relativity. Then the 10% are the ones that are deserving to get resources. Now, I think that the report that we must get must tell us about if those results, if that those things that we will not be able to plan on how to deal with that issue. The other issue is the issue of the invasion of houses. We'll be thinking about this chair everyday. There is no way that you can deal with the invasion of housing if you have not resolved the issue of tightly dealing allocation of housing. Now the question is, when you build this housing, who are you building for? Because if you can build a house and maybe for a year to look for who to occupy the house, then who are you building the house for? Now you are likely to build them by a day, you are going to waste resources because you are going to have to hire security companies to guard the houses that are supposed to be allocated on completion. Because immediately when they completed the house, you must be able to allocate it to a beneficiary because you use the beneficiary fee to build the house. Now the reason why these houses are not invaded and the crisis of wasting mass resources on security is because you are building a house for homes. Because you will be building a house for somebody who knows who you are building for. Because when you want to open to the same informal document that you think that you are building for, you will find that the people who are there are not deserving to build this house. Going back to the issue of the audit of the informal document and a lot of issues. Now, I think the biggest problem that we are faced with here is the issue of planning. If we can't plan, we can't resolve the issue of land invasion, we can't resolve the issue of house allocation, we can't resolve the issue of planning deeds, we can't resolve the issue of spending. Because all of them are linked to the issue of the planning. Because if that is not done, we still come back here and check and confirm and still have the same discussion. Because we have the same discussion with provincial governments, we have the same discussion with local municipalities, and we're still having it today. And answer still remains the same, that all of these issues, we can not be mad at the current CFO to all these municipalities, but if these issues are not resolved the way they should be resolved, you still face the same problem of lack of spending because you don't know where to spend to because one, in most cases I know it's not checked out, a lot of land that is needed to use for human settlement is in private hands. The private people are refusing with the land, you find them in the same issue. Where the land is available is far away from conflict activity, the cities are not integrated, there is all those issues. Now you have the same problem if you're not alone, the things that are being spent.
I may have missed out on some of the details, but I just wanted to check two things. Firstly, from the department, this idea of relocating the resources from a poorly spending municipality to a more efficient municipality has been passed in fact as robbing the poor to reward the rich. So we actually should get an answer as to what is the discussion between the Department of Human Settlements and the OCTA. Because the issue of the inability in the planning and spending of infrastructure funds is linked to lack of technical capability of the municipality, something that should be resolved at least at the level of the Department of Human Settlement and Culture. I'm aware that there's been programs such as MISA that is supposed to help to improve the capacity of the municipality because with those who are poor and living in an incompetent or inefficient municipality will always be punished. So that's a question about the budget directs. The second one is a question to the lecturers. There is no spontaneous informal settlement. People go there, they invite others. Somebody is in charge and allocates others. It never happens. Somebody just walks in there. So somebody goes there and then they had a group that they were outreaching to another. So I think that approach must know that how it works everywhere. But the question I'm asking is that most of the poor people, the black community who reside in town, will only find them in informal settlements. Now, can the metros give us a sense of up to now how much land has been identified and utilized to house how many people, how many people, how many people have been housed in the center of town? Now, after that, because one of the main objectives of the human settlement department, but also of the post-apartheid government, is to deal with the inequality and at the core of it is the reversal of the apartheid planning, special planning patterns. And in terms of the IUDF, all cities are supposed to actually by now able to identify the population that has moved from the informal settlements to proper housing in the center of town. And that's the question I'm asking. Can they give us a sense up to now how many people have been settled in the center of town and what is their target going to be? Because if we don't focus on that, we seem to be all talking about how we're dealing with the human settlement challenges which are, you know, spreading away, further away from town. But we actually talk about bringing people into the center of town. But that's really what is causing the informal settlement in town, is the fact that we have not been able to identify the land. So I want to know exactly how concrete are their figures. What have they done there? What the attack is going to reduce? Would we say, I saw some of the figures there, can we say that we have identified so much that the next 5 years we have brought in 45,000 people into the center of town? Can we say something concrete like that? That's what I'm trying to say. Thank you.
Thank you very much. You want to... Okay. All of you, you were able to ask your question, however, remember.
One last question, maybe. We can talk a lot about it, but it is in the presentation. I just maybe want to get maybe progress on the list, the title deeds, and you know, having them online and people being able to see where they are on the list and stuff. So if it's natural to grasp, give us an indication of where they are with that project. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Just to add on to the questions as members have raised, I see the CFO and CFO, the presentation that you have given us from July 2022 to January 2023. So which included the last financial year in terms of the cycle of national and provincial government. And you are indicating that metros are not the rates represent that they are not performing, all of them, in terms of the presentation. And you said that you have given the your interacted with the network and made intentions to reallocate funds and all those things. Reallocate funds to other areas or stop allocation, including that National Treasury has done the same thing. In the last presentation, in the last meeting that we had, if you remember, CFO, on the District 136 Development Agents area that has been identified throughout the country, one of the issues that were raised particularly in doing away, just to add what was said on some of the pain, doing away with the apartheid special planning. The presenter indicated that it's difficult to get municipalities to get budget to those developmental areas. And he further indicates majority of some of the technical problem is the
bylaws that exist in municipality which hampers the development of those roads for us to be able to transform special planning. Just to check on yourself, in terms of this informal settlement, majority of them are next to town, and the city of Cape Town, they indicate that they are even orchestrated by some people who are trading cuckoos and all those things. What is it that you are doing to make sure that you stop invasion of land? Two, how many cases do you have of those people who are found or are orchestrating the invasion? And personally, I would support National Treasury to stop this funding. And I'm happy that at some point the Minister has told us that they are reviewing all the grants, which we have to get the support and support, because we are just throwing money in the sea. The intention that we are, the purpose of this grant, collaborating with other grants who are not actually achieving in the system, realizing the impact that you have on the budget. Spending like 10% is something else without it. If there is no impact, it's something else. And we cannot advocate for 99% spending without the impact of service delivery. The intention of the department to deal with the special apartment spending is to make sure that people are in house. Minister has introduced USG was introduced because measures does not have enough funds to provide adequate development. And majority of this town, there are a lot of unregulated private sector which continue to do their planning, and because there are no bylaws in terms of the previous presentation that we have. And means that we're moving around the sector. So the process that the department do the measures. As you plan, should then be able to tell us what is it that you do. Don't cap invasion of the poor people. Cap the invasion, the private sector who occupy land and build what is not in your plan. Are you able to do that as a metro? Because private sector, in Ekuru Lane, we have to give you 500 million to intervene in Barreno Park, because there was a food processing plan which was not in the natural plan. The actual somebody has just approved, and then you went to, then it affected the residents of Barano Park, because those dirty things that are coming from the factory goes to those families. What is it that we do in balancing the capping of informal settlements
and the unregulated private sector that you see in town, how do we stop them just, or whether it's other departments who actually approve this development outside the reserve as human settlement, but where, because of there is a district development body, how do we work with other departments to make sure that that does not happen, including with the private sector? Because one of the backlogs that we find in the city is not only caused by informal settlement, and it's caused by unregulated private sector in the city, which builds, whether it's to factories, which is the view that they will create jobs, or motor cases that exclude the poor. So how do we deal with that? Because it will be very critical for these human settlement transformation, partial transformation training. And Honorable Malachi, you are right to say that the forward training that you aspire to have in the country, you don't get it in most instances. Departments, municipalities, and national, they still do parallel training, which is making it difficult for the money that is not there to be utilized to optimal required by your GCM. The last thing that I want to check with is your Cape Town. Which areas of the Pine Act that you think should be reviewed? Because I'm not one to be like very justice, it means that it needs you to be wake up. Which area? So that as members of parliament, at some point we have to look at those issues and see how we then help to get those areas reviewed if it is of service. But what I don't get is these people who are orchestrating this farm, check farming, why are they not get arrested? Why are they not being arrested? Because if you know that there are people who mobilize people, they are even ready. No, cannot allow that. Because it's a banana republic. If we are not actually dealing with those people. And national, the last thing, in the last, when we deal with provinces, we are against the membership of members. That this thing of shifting funds without you telling us what it is that you have done, you know, which to the area that we are taking money. You said that this thing should never happen. You have to go there. If you have to camp as a department in a that the municipality of provinces are not performing, you have to do that. We would not actually support any relocating of funds from anywhere to any other area without dealing with the problem that you find there. And I agree with Honorable Power that your presentation says, right, they are not performing. Why then you want to give them more money than you told you tell them?
Chair, there are quite a number of issues that have been raised. and I will do my level best to deal with them. But I think so that I get the issue of inner city development off the table, because there are various speakers who have alluded on it, and it was not part of our presentation on what we need to present, because we have a full presentation on that. We are making accessible the land parcels for people that are working on the or staying in the outer city to be able to stay in the inner city, so as to cut their transport costs, and also these developments, they are closer to transport nodes and there are economic opportunities. That is our priority. This is a priority program. It's a priority number 6 from that of Mayor Zoran Hilu, who is in the assumed office from the 1st of November. And we have been steadfast on it and making sure that the output to it is very significant. Hence, National Minister Kubai also attended our affordable housing in Daba that we held at ICC with the National Department and some of the provincial counterparts. So, because we are demonstrating how we committed to making sure that we do the other industry development. I'll list a few sites to alleviate some of the fears that have been raised by some of the members. For an example, just in front of Parliament on Rollins Street, you will see when you go up to Duval, there's an open site by Fruit and Veg. That site will seek council approval. It has gone through, it's going through our processes, the planning processes now. It's going to go out on tender very soon. That particular site is out for social housing and affordable housing within the inner city. It can never be closer than that. There's a site that we're working on with, I think, HGA through the National Department has bought at Sea Point next to the SABC, famously known as SABC building. That particular building is earmarked for part of it for social housing. So you go to Salt River in Pinelands, you go to Woodstock, we have projects that are in the pipeline that will give us a yield of more than 10,000 housing opportunities for those people who are living. There's a model that we have used, and I hope the committee at some point will be taken to that particular project. It's in Pinelands. We call it Conradi project. It's a model that we have showcased in the inner city. Pinelands is one of the affluent suburbs within the city of Cape Town, where rental starts from about 800 to 1,000 rand, and those people who are domestic workers, civil servants, who are teachers, who are police, they are able to stay in the inner city. And that is the kind of commitment that we have made. And we want them to be closer in Maitland. Just around Maitland, we're completing now a first batch of individuals will be allocated as from end of next month. We've built a beautiful structure there at the corner of Fort Breaker. I think it's covered in Fort Trekkers. We've built a beautiful structure. On the way, those who stay in Acacia, they can take Fort Trekkers. So just they can be able to see the beautiful inner city development that we are doing. We also, in partnership with private sectors, you are alluding, and I think some of the members have alluded to it. So as to enable, and this is what the purpose of the ICAPA, to make sure that we draw the private sector, because they have also the capital on their side, we throwing them to enable us this project to be able to come to fruition, and we starting to see those coming to fruition. I mean, in July, if I'm not mistaken, on the 28th of July, when we had the last council meeting last year, we released one of the land parcels in Salt River to communicate to be able to do that development. We have issued out land parcels on Pine Road. We continue to release some of them in Goodwood. The DCI has been given land. I was there for site visits. That particular project is currently under construction. So this demonstrates from the city of Cape Town that the issue of inner city development because there is this idea that, that we're not taking care of those that are working in the inner city. We do, and have demonstrated. So some of these projects are under construction as we speak. Some of them are allocating, we've allocated them. They are at 90% of with allocation, like your contract. Maitland is sitting at about 60% because they're concluding construction. So in all those developments, some of them are on the pipeline. Last Friday, we released, we went on advert on Paru Fab Precinct 2 to look for partners to partner with them in the private sector. We'll be developing. This coming Friday, we're also going out on tender for Paru Precinct 1. Also, this is a part of the land release program. The other Friday, we are also going out on tender for Pickwick, which will give us a yield of more than 2,000. It's in Salt River, which will give us a yield of more than 2,000 housing opportunities, and 600 of those are social housing. I'm sure in the near future, if you need, Chair, through you, a more detailed presentation, I'll be able to present it so as to deal with this myth that in the city of Cape Town we're not committed to uplift the poor and we're not committed to make sure that the poor, they are closer to their economic opportunities. Thank you, Chair. Chair, on the issue of, I think there was an issue around Central View, the confusion around backyard art on Service 1 and all. City of Cape Town is about 50,000 adult stock units across the city. Because those families have expanded over years, and those some of the kids have then brought in informality, you see it in Langa, you see it in Kugule, you see it in other areas, Boteville, etc. They then have external houses or external structures. So these are the structures that I was referring to. So, but they are part of our pipeline pledge. We're dealing with them. Political maneuvering. I mean, I don't want to get to a point where I name political information in this portfolio. But we know people who have spearheaded the issues of expropriation without compensation. So now it can be new to us that, as I've indicated on the draft, that this was misguided. Nothing that is being done by the city, I think we're being disingenuous to the cities. I mean, the presentation, I mean, the reason why I made the presentation to demonstrate what has been done over the past financial years was to simply indicate as to how the city has performed. The issue of percentages is not a non-issue. Because a percentage is linked to a fund that has been granted. If you give me 10 rand, and I spend 9.99 cents of that, that's 99%. Now, there can be an expectation thereof that when we allocated a fund and we have spent almost all those funds, and we say there's nothing that we're doing. I think we're being disingenuous to the cities and also the officials who are committed and working tirelessly to service the communities that are out there. So, with the little, as I've indicated previously, with the little resources that we have, we do our level best, and we have demonstrated over the past three financial years that every cent we can be able to account for it. And even on this particular financial year, that's why even National Department, when Lusu was presenting, she made an indication that the city of Cape Town is one of the cities that has brought forward a report to indicate that the expenditure will, how it will be done going forward. I've responded to the issue of money versus, I'll say, urbanization of population. It goes back to the same issue, that we need to find a balance, because the capital resource that we have, or the funding resources or grants that we receive, they don't match the demand. And that's why, Chair, we can never hide it as a city. We have a backlog of more than half a million people working on our database. But for us to service those people in relation to the grants that we have, they don't collaborate. So it's for that reason that we have also now dealt with the issue of bringing the private sector on board, but also that this funding, that the funding that we get from Treasury through National Department is not enough to match the demand out there. And we understand that people are coming in the Western Cape, particularly the city of Cape Town, for better opportunities, for better healthcare, for better education, and we understand those dynamics, but the funding that we get in order to enable everything at the same time, I agree with the notion that there must be an urgent workshop, man. There must be that workshop. Because that workshop will not only assist us as the metros, but also the committee. The committee to understand and grasp what needs to happen and what is the national housing code and case. Because if that workshop is not conducted, we'll have this issue that there's a fight or it's after them. What is it? It's not after them. It's all of us. We're on the same boat and we want all of us to be able to serve the poor community. But to get into detail, I think the National Department will have to organize through the share that particular workshop. Why are we not safeguarding the land from invasion? We are safeguarding the land from invasion, but the capacity that we have as a city when invasions happen at a large scale is not enough. For that reason that we have asked that first must come forward to assist us. And it was also something good to hear when Minister Gumbele indicated that in the poor areas there are less resources, because that indicated to us, it's what we've been preaching as a city, that Minister Gumbele must up their resources in the poor areas. And Minister Gumbele said there are less resources there, there are no capacity, and we agree with him. We agree with him because if there was full capacity within the poor areas on the police station and on the police in general, would not be sitting with some of the challenges we have today. Because public order police, they are not enough to be able to deal with such invasions where they happen at the scale at which they happen. How are we planning, the forward planning within the city? Hence we have got the pipeline project. And also within the informal settlement, we have a QR coding mechanism that we're utilizing. And we've picked up some of what the members have indicated, the issue of foreign nationals that were unable to utilize our grant on that day within the informal settlement, people that have received housing opportunities before, that is true. And we are dealing with those issues decisively, because when we start embarking on the fiction, we want to demonstrate the fact that this particular person has received a housing opportunity. Not only the person has received it perhaps outside, but the person has received that housing opportunity within the city of Cape Town, but the person has opted to sell or rent it out. Linked to the issue of the court action, we are in that process of court action, where we are now going to embark on getting an exercise of evictions in some of the areas and all sorts of other issues. But because some of them, I was talking to some of my colleagues, are at a sensitive stage, so we don't want to divert much in relation to them. Procurement. As a city, we don't have an issue, particularly in the city of Cape Town, we don't have an issue of procurement. I mean, we have even gone to an extent of having contractors that are on our database or on our panels now. We have appointed those in December. And also not only contractors, but we've also appointed within our partners, we've also appointed engineers, so that we don't wait for a longer term for us to be able to deliver on those. The issue of entrepreneurs, etc. I want to call it differently. Perhaps what the bigger challenge that we have as national indicators, there are people who purport to be business owners, to be subcontractors who come to our side and demand work based on the 30% that is provided for within the BOQs, bill of qualities. Now, what that has escalated to now, it has escalated to issues of extortion. It has escalated to issues where people come in and without any statutory documents demand to get work, and if failure to do so, it will lead to threats to our own officials, and as a city we have lost an official, for example, in the past week in one of our sites in Delft, where she was shot 17 times as she was entering the site. It has escalated to that level, and hence we have issued out a reward for any Catholic leaders to an arrest of about 100,000, because we cannot allow acts of criminality to take center stage at our project, because that in itself hinders progress in terms of those that are vulnerable receiving their homes ultimately. I don't know how to respond to the issue of, I think National will respond to the issue of the city of Cape Town being efficient, hence it's receiving more grants. I think I'll leave that to, I was not part of that discussion, but I appreciate that because of our official efficiency, we're getting more grants now. We open to that, and I really appreciate it, because it's going to enable us and assist us to deal with the informality that is there, and also the 186 informal settlements, because we were also wanting the city for trains to run, so we will do our best to make sure that those funds are utilized appropriately. I think, Chair, I hope I've covered, because there was a bit of duplication in some of the questions. I think I've covered. On the issues of what is that? I think at the core of it, Chair, in relation to the issue of the pie, there are a number of issues, but at the center of it, it's more of, for example, the time frame that one of the members was talking about. Because of cities don't have, remember, the authority of dealing with acts of criminality, because this is an act of criminality. It that delegation sits primarily with the South African Police Service. So it also will enable us as the time frame to be able to, the time frame be longer, so that we're able to deal with these constructions of this informal settlement on time and be able to act within an enough period, so that it doesn't hinder us from evicting and so on. So I think that is the last part from my side. Thank you very much. I'll speak to you.
Thank you, Chair. I will deal with some of the questions that are related to equitable learning. On the issue of illegal occupation of houses, Chair, this is a rife problem, and it's complicated in the sense that it's not, it requires many interventions to deal with it. I'll give you an example. One of the challenges we have, because there are people who've been sitting on that database, which is the HSS, for a very long time. So we start a project, we build the houses, but when you're supposed to allocate them, you find that those people are no longer there, because they've been waiting there for many years, they've been moved and other things have passed on. Now you have this house that is sitting there and not occupied, which is inviting illegal occupation. In some instances, I'll give you an example, there's an area called Tanger, where we've allocated the rifle to the fisheries, then you find that at night there are people who come with taxis and then they intimidate those people, and these are like elderly people, chase them out of those houses and then bring in other people. So these are some of the issues that we are dealing with. It's spread across the city. In some instances, you find that the houses are not actually built by the city, they're built by the province. So it requires that close collaboration between the two spheres of governance. So I'm happy to say the MEC has since approved an allocation policy which is applicable to all the municipalities in the state. In that policy, then it tells us what we need to do. Like, we need to have a joint allocation policy between ourselves and the city and the province, which then tells us who are the people that we must prioritize. And what we've also asked the province to do is to go into that system to validate those people, so that as we build houses, we know we're building these houses for the people that are, you know, we know that they are there. Instead of building a house and then we find out later that these houses and these people have moved on. And when we do that process, then we want to tell the rest of beneficiaries that your house is being built at that place. And when people know that their house is being built at such a place, they have an interest to make sure that house is not illegally occupied. So these are some of the interventions that we are making. On the issue of accreditation, we did apply for accreditation to be at level 3, but unfortunately that process never succeeded. We still, all the cities are still at level 2 accreditation. So the issue of fraud and corruption is there in the sector. It's not an issue we can run away. But where we find this, because these people are also sophisticated, they use technology to lure people to buy, to sell them houses illegally. So it happens. So we do have many cases that we open with the police to look into this issue. The honourable, the issue of a blanket control is no longer there. We deal with the cases on a case by case basis. We don't have a blanket court order that helps us to deal with these issues. And then specifically on the issues on the issue raised on the Palm Ridge, we went to court and were successful. We granted the eviction order. But before we could execute that eviction order, the illegal occupiers appealed, and today we are actually getting the outcome of the judgment on that specific issue of Palmbridge. So in terms of procurement, we don't have procurement, we don't have problems per se with procurement in the city. As you would have seen from the clean audits that we've got, that our processes are but what has happened in this particular instance, because we appoint this panel on a 3-year term. So what happened here, those contracts were coming to an end in December, then we were finalizing the appointment of the new one. So there was just that gap, that overlap, which sort of affected our performance. So that's what happened in this particular instance. The issue of service delivery that's raised, we noticed, and we can't defend it because it's there. I think it must just be understood in context, because I did mention in every way, because of the political instability that's there, We normally pass our budget adjustment in January, but January has come, we still haven't passed our budget. And as I'm talking to you now, we're running the risk of not complying by passing our budget adjustment by February. because there is council meeting tomorrow, but whether that council meeting will conclude the business that is supposed to conclude, it remains to be seen. In the meantime, we're losing time in terms of the project that we're supposed to implement to deal with the service delivery challenges. Honorable Power, the issue of drone is something that we will then talk to our colleagues from the city of Cape Town to learn from them, because it will definitely enhance the work that our innovation unit is doing. So we're looking to that. The budget that we use for this unit comes from our security budget, which is funded from our own revenue, so it was part of the grant funding. And then there was a question on the hostels that we are upgrading. We have a hostel redevelopment program that's led by the province, where as a city we use our bulk to upgrade the infrastructure of those hostels, and then the province will then come in with the areas on top. So in Ekurhuleni there is five of them, which is Nguni Hostel, Wadville Hostel, Tokoza Hostel, Davidson, as well as Matema. Those are the hostels that we are busy with. And then on the work of Title D, this is a national problem. I know it gets discussed at MINMEC as well, the fact that we're sitting with a backlog on Title D. In Ekurhuleni, I think we're sitting with just over 8,000 Title Ds that we need to distribute. So what we have done in Ekurhuleni, because we have appointed, young people, we call them youth brigades, about 30 of them, who actually go out into those communities to help us distribute these tablets. Then they give us the information in terms of where people have moved on, where the beneficiary has deceased, where they are disputes in terms of the estate. But once we have that information, we are then in a position to be able to then deal with the problem so that we can distribute those tablets. As a result of that work, we've been able to date, we are able to distribute about 4,000 Title Ds, but we still want to increase that performance. And then in terms of the audit of informal settlements, we have done this audit, but obviously informal settlements, they just grow every day. Because the last one I think we did was in 2019. So you can imagine if you go today and do this audit, you find out it's completely changed. So we do that work so that when we do the work on the informal settlement, we know who are the people that are there. Who are we? For instance, we find that in some areas, the population of illegal immigrants is higher than the people that normally benefit. So then you find that those are the people who actually don't want development because they know they have no interest, they're not going to benefit. So they will then sabotage the plans. But there we have a relationship with our home affairs where they assist us to intervene and to deal with those people that are not legally in the country. The issue of land that we identified for people in the city center is the Honorable Dr. Kizze. What we've done as cities, because Minister has addressed priority housing areas in all the cities, which then guides us in terms of making sure that we don't do development of human settlements outside those housing priority areas. So and what we've also done in the city of Ekurhuleni is to make sure those housing priority areas are actually aligned with the municipal development framework, so that we move away from building houses outside the urban edge. But in terms of the sense, we won't be able to give that now, but we can submit it later in writing if it's required by the committee. And then lastly, on the issue of approval of development by a private sector, which then sometimes creates problems for us. You refer to the specific case of Bolero. It does happen that sometimes we find that the officials within our city planning who approve this plan, that there is some corruption that happens there when people get approval wrongly to continue with those developments. So it's an issue that we've looked at through our own internal audit and consequent management with those officials that are responsible for this type of development. I must also say we've also improved the capacity of our building control within the city planning department to make sure that these illegal structures that you find within the cities, we deal with them. I think, Chair, I'll leave it at there. I think I've covered all the issues that we raised. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson and members. Firstly, Chairperson, let me apologize for not sending in the presentation from the National Department. When we looked at the agenda, we were not part of the presentation. However, I thought that we would do an overview. But looking at the way the performance is at, that's when this morning I just said maybe we should look at the presentation that I had. But honorable members and honorable chairperson, in future, when the province and metros are here, we'll make sure that we submit honorable progress in advance, because we thought that I was going to do just an overview, but I realized that sometimes giving an overview without demonstrating the figures and the non-financial, it was going to be difficult. I'm going to deal with the mine part. All the informal settlements will be dealt with Dr. Tokopo and the special planning with regard to this protocol. Honorable members and chairperson, let me resolve the issue of the confusion. There is no confusion, honorable members. Section 18 of the Division of the Revenue Act, 18.1, I quote, despite Section 17, the National Treasury may, in its discretion, or on the request of a transferring officer, stop the transfer of a Schedule 5 or 4 allocation or a portion thereof to a province or municipality. B. If the National Treasury anticipates that a province or municipality shall substantially underspend on the allocation of a program partially or fully funded by the allocation in the 2022-23 financial year, close quote. So, this is a two-fold exercise. There is the transferring officer, there is the national treasurer. The transferring officer, they do their own processes. National treasury, through their own discretion, they do their own process. What I presented is what we as a national transferring officer did. We started the process. When you go to Section 17, the process is clear. We start by issuing out the intention. We say to the provinces that we think that they would understand, or at that particular point in time, are understanding. We say to them, can you please submit your cover plan? Tell us, where are the bottlenecks? Let us sit down. That's Section 17. We give them 7 working days to respond to us in writing. The provinces did respond to us in writing. Then we will go to them, we sit down with all the provinces. We look at what are the problems, what is it that we can do. There is a woman in the National Department. There is also the project managers that we have appointed who are engineers that are assisting us to go to the project level to look at all of this. We have got the recovery plan of all of this, Metro Chairperson and members. We look at them. Then, at the end, that's when we will come and exercise Section 18, the stocking. We would write to National Treasury, we are saying, Then when we write to treasurers, we give them evidence of what we have done. They don't just take our way for it. We give them the first letter that we want the metro or the province that we are going to withhold. Then we must give them the proof of the recovery plan and the discussion and the project. This year we are going a step further. We are going down to the project. We went to East London because BCM, they are the ones that are doing well. We went to BCM because they are searching for additional funding. There is a road, that main road in East London. They needed additional funding for it. We said, we went there, we sent the engineers and the project managers, go and meet and look at that road, whether they need additional funding. There is a project in Dixie Road for City of Joy called Riverside. Yesterday, the city and the project managers and the engineers from the National Department, they went to Dixie Road because they said they want additional funding for that project. Then we said, we are not just going to allocate money. No, we want to see the value for money. It's not about money, chapters and money spent. It's about the value for money. So, Honorable Powell, that is the that I think I'm clarifying. Now, we did our own processes. Then the letter, MMC boy, it was signed on the 17th, last week Friday. They were dispatched on Monday. They were sent to all the city managers. We were CC'd because we are the receiving officer. Those letters is for all the conditional grants. I'm sitting here with a letter of the city of Cape Town. It talks about another grant I won't call it by name, together with the informal settlement upgrading partnership grant. The letter was sent out on Monday by Yolande from National Treasury. So the letter, the heading of the letter that was sent, the heading for all the letters is the same. Stopping of funds due to underperformance or non-compliance, then they will mention the grant. So the letter that goes to City of Cape Town and the informal settlement upgrading partnership grant. So this is the letter, I think. So all the metros, they have received the letter. For the informal settlement upgrading partnership grant, I've got the final list. So all the metros, National Treasury is proposing. When we go down on the act, they don't just sit and stop the allocation. They request these metros to respond, they give them 7 working days, respond to us in writing, tell us why we shouldn't proceed with the intended action. It doesn't mean that because they've issued out that they're going to stop, they're going to automatically stop. No. The law does not allow them to do that. The law allows them to look at the submission by all the metros. So all the metros are making a submission to say, this is our cash flow, this is the project. So National Treasury does the same process that the National Department does. But because then they start at Section 18 and the National Department starts at Section 17. So what we did, what I presented, is what we did and then submitted today. This Monday, National Treasury communicated with all the metros, emphasizing their own discretion. The painful part now comes in whereby as National Department we say we are not going to do anything. If we sit and if we don't make proposals, honorable members, National Treasury, they use their own discretion. They make decisions for us. When we look at the last financial year, National Treasury exercised Section 18. They are the ones who reallocated the funds to Ekurhuleni on the informal settlement. They stopped money, then they reallocated. So if we are saying we are not going to do it, unfortunately, the Act gives National Treasury the power to do the same process. Hence, we are proactive, we start from the beginning, and then we do the processing. So, however, on the USDG, City of Joy and City of Cape Town, they didn't get the stopping and the reallocation. So the stopping for the City of Cape Town is only on the informal settlement of the partnership grant. So all the metros that are affected by the proposal to stop on the informal settlement. Now, coming to the informal settlement, honorable chairperson and members, the red that I have shown there on our on my submission, the red is on the USDG. When we look at the proposal that we are proposing to reallocate to the City of Cape Town, with all the informal settlement partnership grant. Not on the USDG. We are not giving them additional money on the USDG, no. We are proposing to give them additional money on the informal settlement. The reason being is those informal settlements that the MMC has put there. There is, we were caused by the Department of Transport and the Minister of Transport. There is this settlement that is sitting on the railway. I remember Minister Butler said, Minister, if I help me, the train cannot move in the city of Cape Town. We had a meeting, the MMC was in that meeting. City of Cape Town said they don't have funds, all their funds are committed. They cannot access funds. The Minister of Human Settlement was caused by the Human Rights Commission. In all those 186 informal settlements, I'm going to zoom into 16. We have the names. The one that the MMC was talking about that are in the nature reserve, that are in the park, and what and what. Those people, honorable members, they don't have basic services. We were caused by the Human Rights Commission. We were caused by DPME. Those people, they relieve themselves in the plastic. I was just thinking about my 15-year-old son. Who has to go, or a girl who doesn't even have a toilet, has to relieve themselves in it. That's why we are saying, we are requesting to reallocate this fund so that we can assist, because we have seen the economic policy and the MMC that they need a lot of additional money. As we are saying, the situation in the 16 informal settlements, it needs an urgent intervention because it's a human rights issue. It's not a matter of City of Cape Town is doing very, very, very well. No, members. It's a human rights issue because DPME, the other time we were traveling from our place, Dr. Sokopo, because he's sitting there with the informal settlement, we were summoned by the Minister Gumbele and the team about the situation in Kaili. So we have seen as national as human settlements, we are not assisting the situation. So we are saying, let us assist. Really, these people, they need basic services. So we are requesting to reallocate on the informal settlement of the Department of Health to assist these people in Kaita and the others. And I agree with the MMC. They are sitting, some of them are in the nature reserve. Some of them are on the railway line. And even that land, because we don't have the money to procure the land for the railway line. And then we said, okay, if you can reallocate the question, then maybe we will be able to get land so that we can move, so that the train can move. Because if human settlement is not going to relocate that informal settlement that is on the railway line, then the train will never move. So we are also hindering the Department of Transport and TRAC. Even next week, if I'm not mistaken, there's a meeting. TRAC and Department of Transport, they are calling us to come up with a plan. What is it that human settlements you are going to do within the city of Cape Town so that the train can move? Because, you know, if you can see the pictures from Prasa, there's built this side, it has stopped, then there's the informal settlement, then the development starts on the other side. So we need to, like, a human settlement, this is a human settlement matter and this is a human rights matter. So that's why we come in as the National Department of Human Settlements. And I think I've covered the, yes. Now, Honorable Paul was talking about the residential relief. The residential relief was not given to CISO. It was given to SHRA and NHS because it was supposed to assist these people who couldn't afford rent at the point in time. The way the fiscal work is, there is an allocation for a specific year. So, this reallocation was done that year of COVID. I remember we were on a level 5 lockdown. That's when we looked and then we said, as national department, we came up with this program. I agree with Honorable Paul. The policy came a year after. We took time. The money is in there. Unfortunately, the money is out of the National Department of Human Settlement. It was a 1920 allocation. This money is sitting with SHRA, is sitting with NHSC. Now, year in, year out, NHSC, when they submit their book, ensure that money is there. They would request for the retention of the supply. So it's outside of the conditional grant. Unfortunately, that's the way it is such way. It's not like a conditional grant. So for us, with the conditional grant now, that we are utilizing. They are giving us one option to change over. The province and the metro would get a rollover, provided they are committed. That's section 22 of the decision of the Revenue Act. They must show a commitment. The reason why last financial year we lost funds is because National Treasury, when these metros and the province submit the rollover first, they look at the submission. And there is an NSMA secular that is strict for the local chapters when it comes to unspent funds of the metros or of the municipalities. That's why we get that most of the funds in the municipal grant is reserved back to the municipality. Because they look at issues like, do we have a permanent city manager for a period of 6 months? Do we have a permanent CFO for a period of 6 months? So that's a qualification criteria number one. So all the metros sitting here that we know that they don't have either or the city manager or the CFO that is permanently for a period of 6 months, even if they request a rollover, they won't get it. Treasury is going to take the money. So we are not proud, Honorable Dr. Nkide, that we want to take the money. But if we don't reallocate the money to the moving project, I agree that the residents, the community are going to pass. But if we don't take it, it's going back to the revenue fund. Who suffers is human settlement. Because what Treasury does, when their budget cuts, they look at the mostly underspending sector or department. And if you can go back, yes, you will see that the biggest department that has suffered bigger losses, it was the human settlement. Because they go to the municipalities when they see what they are doing now. But now, I had a call with them yesterday. I did ask them. So, if you are proposing to stop 1.5 billion from the USDG, and all the metros are in the same, almost the same, where are you going to reallocate this fund to? That was my question. They couldn't give me an answer. Because if they want to stop 1.5 billion, they cannot give it to the city of Cape Town. It's too much. It's more than what the city of Cape Town needs now. They cannot even give it to BCS. So the only two or three metros, they can't even reallocate 1.5 billion. So the question that we are having a discussion with the National Federal now is, we are proposing the stopping so that we can assist the city of Cape Town to respond. But you want to take 1.5 billion from the USDG. When you look at the proposal of what they want, that intended. So, this is an intention. They are not saying the final number, but we are going to have a meeting with them in the near future. That's what we agreed on yesterday. So, on the informal settlement, it's 450. So when you look at the grants that are sitting with us, that National Treasury is proposing to stop, it's close to a billion. So the question is two billion. The question is, if they want to move 2 billion, where are they going to move it to? Because there's no any other metro as of the 31st of January that will be in a position to absorb additional funding of 2 billion. So that is the case. So those are the challenges. We don't want to take money. In Mangaung, last financial year, Honorable Dr. Kumar, we went to Mangaung. I was part of the team that tried to assist Mangaung last financial year. We went to Mangaung, we sat down with them. There is a big project that is called Sister Park. The president, I think, went there, and then those people in Mangaung, they presented that project, Sister Park 2 and 3. It's a beautiful project. They presented, and then they said, you know, if we can get, it's an IFDC, the Integrated Development Project. And hospital, clinic, school, it's a beautiful project. Then we said, okay, we can give them additional money because there were other metros that were the people them. We gave them $7 million. See, let us look at the picture. Now, the situation there, even today, that Vista Park is still sitting. That money is reverted back to revenue funding. So, what National Treasury did, gave them all the money that was sitting in Mangaung, they took the money back. Then they went there and said, okay, which ones are the moving projects? I think they gave them 4 million for land, what was for, like, small million. So the unfortunate part of it is, the MFMA circular for the application of the rollovers on the unspent funds. It's so strong in such a way that we know that in city of Tshwane, the Tshwane Joe, we don't have a full-time CFO. So if these two metros, they understand in Tshwane, they are not going to get that rollover, just as an honorable member. That one is going to get back to the living fund. Because there's no CFO there. And jumping into the question of procurement. Now, unfortunately, the issue of procurement, there's a new regulation that was passed because we know about the Concord ruling and the new regulation that is in the pre-provincial procurement regulation for 2022. It started on the 16th of January. Unfortunately, it says each and every organ of state. So we cannot go and fit in the bid adjudication committee for the municipality with him. Because they must come up with their own policy. We as a National Department of Human Settlements will come up with our own policy. The National Department of Transport, they must have their own policy. So this new regulation that came into effect on the 6th of January is giving each and every organ of state to come up with their own preferential government policy. What we did as a human settlement sector, honorable scribe, we said we are going to have a safe forum on the 1st of March because we are given until March to make sure that this new procurement regulation, they kick in. Because now on 16 January, the old one were repealed completely. Now that this new one. We requested the Office of the Chief Procurement Officer, National Treasurer, can you come and sit with us as a sector so that we can customize our procurement rule? We want alignment as human settlement. The email that I got was, we can't. There's a lot that needs to be done. We cannot come and help you. Because our worry was, when we start the year, they gave us a presentation. So they're saying, we've got a lot of questions regarding this regulation. So when it comes to procurement, this new regulation, I think now, Treasury also, they've got a lot on their plate. So it's difficult for them. Those who have already approached them, say, come and help us. They're saying they can't chip in because they've got all these other circulars. There's a lot of items that are taken out on this new regulation, like your evaluation criteria, the functionalities, the triple B is out, and then we are allowed to bring in the specific goals whereby we can determine the historically disadvantaged, all those kind of things. So when we request them, say, come, we are ready for a workshop, can you come and workshop us on the 1st of March so that we close the year to avoid irregular expenditure. Because the most critical thing that is sitting with procurement and the measuring in the procurement is irregular expenditure. When we read the report of Tshwane, what is actually happening in Tshwane is the report of the Auditor General. AG now, they've got what they call materiality in it. When you look at the report that was published by Auditor General for the issue of Tshwane, they've got irregular expenditure, it's because they're not following the procurement processes. They've got unauthorized expenditure, they've got privilege and speech. Here the council, I think they said to the CFO, thank you so much. Because remember, it's the responsibility of the CFO to prevent against all odds the material, footless and irregular exchange. So we will still try to see if the Office of the Chief Procurement Officer can chip in and assist us because we have got this new regulation. I think on the stopping on the assisting of the municipalities, honorable Jefferson and members, I think we are trying everything. On the ground, where it's clear, we need to offer support. We are. There are people on the ground. Hence, we said, we even went to the project managers. There is this members of the war room that they face with each and every person. They went to Nelson Mandela Bay. If you can speak, the recovery plan, when Nelson Mandela Bay come now to the portfolio committee, we'll see the improvement. With Ekumene as well, the team went there. With the issue of Yobe, they even came to the city of Cape Town. So we are going through all the cities now because it's towards end of our financial year because we need to close the book. Why are we now paying special attention to the cities? It's because our financial year ends on the 31st of March. Whatever we are doing, we are closing the book. But the financial year of the municipalities, it ends on the 30th of June. So the municipality, they still have got the 30th of June to spend the allocation. However, Honorable Powell, we are using the midterm budget adjustment because we are saying 6 months down the line, we are expecting you to have moved. Remember, national treasurer or the national department or the national government, the financial year ends on the 6th of March. If by now we are not doing anything post-March, there's nothing, there's no application. We know that we are closing the books, we cannot do anything. Hence, we start the benchmark. National treasurer was doing the benchmark with all the nations. That even now, they even came to the city of Cape Town. One of my students was in the city of Cape Town. They went to the city. They are using that benchmark. That's saying, tell us, how are you going to spend? What are you going to do in the next coming month? Because as national government, we are closing our books, but we need to know. Then we look at the project. Because one of the requirements of the MFMS circular is, by the 31st of March, you are supposed to have finished with the procurement. When you request for a rollover, we need the letter that you have appointed the service provider. Because there's no way that at the end of the third quarter, they will pass it to the same year advertising. Then it will be June before they can even appoint the service provider. So that is the situation that we are going to have. I'm about to finish. So the report that we are bringing here is for the financial year that is starting on the 1st of July 2022 for the municipality. So the metro financial year starts on the 1st of July to the 30th of June. It's their financial year, but there is a, our work is ends in June, in March. So by the time we are starting with our first quarter, they will be in their fourth quarter. So when you see our report on the 30th of June, when we come to present the fourth quarter for the National Department of Human Development, we will be reporting that metros are on their third quarter. We won't be reporting the fourth quarter. We are reporting that even though we are, but when we give AG the book, we are saying AG, the performance of the metros that we are reflecting on our financials is as of the 31st of March. It's not the end of their financial year, however, it's the end of our financial year. Chairperson, I think I've spoken more about the assisting of the shifting of funds. We will make a submission in all the projects that we've visited, all the metros. We've got the report because we went to all the metros. We requested all of them for the local chairperson members for their cover plan. We didn't choose which one. We said, bring your cover plan. Let us see what we can do to assist, because we don't want to take money. We didn't want to take money. Hence, we even went to the ground to see, can we see the specific project that can absorb money? That's why we were able to identify Riverside in the Sud and that main road in the Eastern, in East London, and as well as the system informal settlement in the city of Cape Town. Chairperson, I think I've covered all the points I'll give to Dr. Sokofo to deal with the
good day, Chairperson and members. The question that I would like to first start with is about how then, as the national department, we assist in ensuring that we improve performance now in terms of the output, not just finance. I think I previously indicated that we have regionalized our functions in terms of the demand. So we have dedicated capacity where we then start from assisting the metropolitan municipalities in developing their annual business plan. And from that annual business plan is developed from an informal settlement upgrading strategy, because that is a requirement that the 410 and some odd informal settlements that have now increased to around 800 in the city of Cape Town, they have a strategy that says, how are we going to upgrade in totality these informal settlements? Even if it's going to take X number of years, they need to have a general understanding of how then they're going to go about that. That then informs their business planning on an annual basis that, okay, this is how far we've gone this year, and these are the informal settlements then that we will put in the business plan. So we do provide
that type of assistance to ensure that also the business plan is credible. Then let's come now to the credibility of the business plan. How credible is a business plan? A business plan can only be credible if there is proof that everything that is related to procurement has been done in the previous year. The challenge is when then Metropolitan Municipality decides that they will only start procuring in the year of implementation, it doesn't work. The advice that we have given them is to have a multi-year program in terms of procurement. Unfortunately, as the ex-CFO has indicated, that we cannot force any of the municipalities if then they cannot take that advice of ensuring that they have this multi-year procurement. They also ensure that then they have your professional resource team. They don't, if they need an architect, if they need an engineer, if they need a town planner, they don't procure on the year that they need all these things. They do that in advance. That is important, and we have to emphasize that. And also, because we have identified that procurement is a problem, we have partnered now with the city support program, and we have promised all the metropolitan municipalities that we will run procurement workshops to assist them on one, planning infrastructure projects, because that's a problem. How do you then package and plan infrastructure projects? Because informal settlement upgrading, even the urban settlement development plan, its focus is ensuring that the infrastructure. And with informal settlements, because we do not want metropolitan municipalities to say we don't have bank. The grant paid from bus infrastructure to road, proper roads, as well as stormwater drainage, up to site level services, which is your water, electricity, and sanitation facilities. So, but there is still this challenge of saying, how do we then plan infrastructure projects? How do we package them? If we need in that particular area a new plant for sanitation facilities, how do we then start then early enough to develop the technical terms of reference? And how do we then start the procurement process such that in the year of implementation we are ready? So those are some of the issues that we'll be focusing on as part of assisting the technical abilities and capacity of a metropolitan municipality. However, I should say, most of them, they do have that technical capacity. The challenge is when then everything, the business plan is okay, we take it through the assessment process, but the budget is not approved by the council, and it takes them back. That is some of the challenges that they are facing. Also, I would like to also indicate that there are two aspects that also in formal settlement other than the permanent infrastructure. The issue of ensuring that basic services are provided, which is what was included. Even those informal settlements that are not targeted for upgrading, at least they have that basic services. Those are some of the challenges that we have identified, and we are driving all of them to ensure them that happens. Unfortunately, the grant itself, sometimes it's continuously utilized to provide these basic services, and we have discouraged them. I think the EcoReady can share some lessons around the issues around the rental of chemical toilets. It's taking a lot of money that we need to rather buy these chemical toilets, appoint people within the settlements so that we can create jobs for the territorial services, for all the other services that we need. There are other funding other than the ICT that can be utilized to ensure them that we provide all the services that are needed other than continuous current house. Then there was the issues around visa planning. The idea is that we need to make sure then that we achieve that vision of digital transformation that is in the National Development, the NDP plan. So the idea was that
when these development areas, the transit development areas have been declared, within these development areas, there are informal settlements. So when you do that informal settlement strategy, for the metros, they do the informal settlement strategy, they have a criteria for prioritization. And one of the criteria will be, is this informal settlement within the priority development area? And that then would provide them highlights of which area they need to provide. And that will then assist in ensuring them that we deal with issues around digital transformation. And also, one of the areas, city, I know that City of Tshwane as well as City of Cape Town have declared informal settlements as transitional areas, although they are using different names. City of Cape Town calls them special rent too, and the City of Ekurhuleni calls them transitional areas, which is progressive in terms of what is required in terms of special development, special planning, and land use management act. So, one of the areas that we have not mastered is to prepare for informality, because that's the only way that we can also provide, other than policy, we need to prepare for informality and maybe declare certain areas and manage the informality that happens in that particular area, the reception areas within the airspace, because we have not been able to do that. And therefore, we will get mushrooming of informal settlements everywhere in our city, which is not assisting. And that is what we now also hitting in our budget, of ensuring that then we have to provide those basic services that we are unable to provide. The last issues around formalization, because informal settlements, for them to be formalized, there is a process and procedure that even if the province is managing informal settlement operations, but they have to come to the city to assist in approving and formalization of the informal settlement. And one of the major issues around formalization of the informal settlement, there are various studies that we see, from EIA to geotech to development of layout plans to zoning scheme, all of these things needs to be done. We also observe that it is long to achieve. We also encourage them that they need to provide incremental approach, to adopt an incremental approach. City of Cape Town has a good approach in terms of that, and also as well as the City of Ekurhuleni of providing that incremental approach. But what we need to develop services that we don't have is kind of standards that says, how long does it take to provide that incremental approach until you ensure them that the citizens do get the benefits at the end, which is the gold standard of formalization. So, and then there's land that was provided, suggested by public work. The institution that is utilized by Department of Human Settlements to accept any land donation by government, departments of government entities is the Housing Development Agency. So when public was indicated, especially even with the flood in KZN, there was a lot of land that were provided by public work, and the entity that accepted that land was HDA. So the details, the minute details about what is happening with that land, you will get them from HDA. However, I should indicate that when we accept that land, the first thing that is done is to conduct your pre-feasibility study to determine whether that land is suitable for the infrastructure. Sometimes, it's not always that land is suitable for the infrastructure. And I'm sure when you call them, then you can ask them the money case on how much of that land has been tested to determine its usefulness for the disaster purposes. Also, what has been done that land, whether it has been released for conversion to residential purposes, to the municipalities or to the provincial department, and so on. So I think the acting DG, I think I have tried to be fast in outlining all the non-financial issues that they ask. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the response and the input. I don't remember if there was a notification to attend to 1 o'clock.